You are listening to Ron Van Dam, a man who sold his soul for fame and fortune and didn't keep the receipt. This is The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. It is. I'm the person to whom they refer to in the title of the damn thing. My name's in it, so it better be good. So you better listen nicely. If this doesn't go well, it's not on me. It's on you for not listening properly. Because this show is incredible, really, on its own merits. If you don't find it to be the case, then your interpretation of it is not the same as mine. I do find that consuming large amounts of alcoholic beverages make this show incredibly wonderful to listen to, but I do not condone that type of activity. Just saying. This is the part of the show where I play the theme song and I make little snide, ridiculous, satirical comments while the theme song is playing in the background. Hope you enjoy it. Momentarily, I will cease doing this continually and I will start the show as it has been laid out before me. That's enough. I love that phrase. That's enough. Ever get in a conversation with somebody when they have verbal diarrhea and they just won't shut the hell up and they go on and on and on and you can't get a word in edgewise as if you wanted to because that would make it a conversation you don't even want to be in. Wouldn't it be great if you could just all of a sudden say, okay, that's enough. Our time is up. Just like a psychologist, I mean, I've talked about this before, when you go to the therapist, you know, after an hour, they shut you up, you know, you don't keep talking like 6 hours later. No, when the session is over, they interrupt you and say, well, that's interesting, you bastard, but our time is up. And then you shut the hell up and you write out a check and you leave. It's clinical and financial. In a marriage that seems to work for the therapist, but not for you. Wouldn't it be great if we could just all understand that under the laws of conversation, as quoted in the Bible, Leviticus chapter 7? And that's when you've had enough, you just say, okay, that's enough. And then they leave knowing that this has ended, our session is over. No money has to change hands unless you're doing it with a prostitute. But beyond that, no money needs to be involved here. Just tell them, all right, I've been listening to you for 5 minutes. That's enough. I have reached my tolerance level. Actually, I'm well beyond the tolerance level. And that, my friend, my Facebook friend, I should say, that's enough. That's enough. I'm blocking you. This is not a Facebook conversation, but we're talking face to face in the middle of the street, and I'm telling you, I'm mentally blocking you. You can continue to talk if you wish about your mindless chatter, but I won't be here to listen to it. You can stand here by yourself and keep talking. I don't care, but I'm going to turn around and go in another direction. And I won't be able to hear you at a point anyway. And the louder you shout, the faster I'll walk away from you. Those are your choices. You can't stop me. I can always call the police and say that you're harassing me with your stupid conversation, which nobody cares to hear except yourself. I used to think talking to yourself was a sign of a mental condition that was not appreciable by others. But then I realized talking to yourself simply means one of two things. Either you don't know when the hell to shut up, or you're on the phone with somebody and I can't see the phone. One or the other, I'm not sticking around to experience it. And that, my friends, is having the balls just to say to somebody, okay, that's enough. Our time is up. I love it. But that's not part of what we do in society because we care about the other person, and we should, unless they're abusing their verbal time. Verbal time should be no more than, oh, I say 3.5 minutes. Beyond that, if you're on the same subject for more than 3.5 minutes, either you're doing a show, such as I am, and by law and by contract need to fill an entire half hour or an hour, whatever the case may be. But other than that, just street conversation or while you're having coffee or sitting in a restaurant or something, 3.5 minute rule, my friends. After 3.5 minutes, you change the subject or get the hell out of here. You think that's a little caustic? I think it's a good idea. On today's show, oh, wow, he changed subjects. Must have been 3.5 minutes. On today's show, I'm going to honor the television program Friends, as you probably know, because everybody does by now. There was a television show called Friends. One of the performers out of the 6 main characters passed away last weekend. The gentleman who played the character role of Chandler Bing, Matthew Perry, was apparently in his hot tub in his California home there and drowned in his hot tub. Matthew Perry, the real person who is the actor, he had been struggling with drugs and alcohol even more than drugs, for decades, and wrote a book about it, trying to help others. He was a very compassionate, wonderful guy, but had this addiction. You would naturally think that his passing, his death, had something to do with drugs and alcohol, or they're doing toxicology exams on the body now to find out if that is the case. But the police found nothing around the hot tub where he drowned that gave any indication of any foul play or any drugs or alcohol or anything like that. I do not have a hot tub. I don't know how you drown in it, but it can be so. I think that the heat of the hot tub and the relaxation of it and whatever chemicals you may use, the chlorines, I don't really know how that works. I don't have a hot tub. That does make you very relaxed and very kind of little like feeling like a high sometimes. And he could have fallen asleep and just slipped below the water level of the hot tub. Possibility, it happens. Don't know. Sometimes there are covers on hot tubs that are automatic, you know, like your moonroof on your car, sunroof, whatever you call that thing. Sometimes they're automatically, the lids go over the top. Something may have triggered, and I don't know, and they don't know. But the fact is that he is no longer with us. And this affected, I thought it just affected this country because this was a big television show for so long, and it's still in reruns all over the place, never stopped being. But it's affected the entire world. Friends was one of the most popular television shows on the entire earth. It was transformed into so many different languages and played in dozens and dozens and dozens of countries worldwide. Countries that you would think they wouldn't even watch that stuff, but they did. Matthew Perry as Chandler Bing was by far the funniest character, the most humor creative guy, and apparently one of the nicest. And his passing just hit national news here immediately as a big thing, and again worldwide as well. There are friends T-shirts in Russia, China. I mean, it's incredible. It's true. So today we went back in time a little bit. I think this is about 2 years ago. I did an interview with a woman that wrote a book about behind the scenes at Friends. I think it's called I'll Be There for You or something like that. And we're going to talk to her on this program. We're going to replay that interview with her. She gave us some of the secrets that go on behind the scenes in the short amount of time she had to spend with us. So we're going to do that as well. And I'll tell you, honestly, as I've told you so many times, what the hell don't you listen to me? I watched television as a kid and as an adult. I never stopped watching television. Television has been a part of my life since the beginning. As a matter of fact, it's watching television as a kid that thrusted me into the entertainment business of doing my own television show for, that was about 20 years I did that. 852 episodes of a show that I did called Another Night. And that was a result of wanting to do a show because I was watching shows on television. It also made me do stand-up comedy for a while and then radio for about almost 30 years now. So it was a big influence on my life, not that show in particular, although I did watch it all the time, but just the entire television entertainment things. TV was big for me. So when I heard about the situation of the death of Matthew Perry, that actually affected me because I grew up with that. And I think that's how we do things. You know, it's the passing of people happens here and there, and they could be world leaders or athletes or something, and okay, that hits us. But when something becomes a part of your daily routine, and I mean, the Friends show is still there, but you don't watch it the same way anymore because one of them is not there anymore in real life, and it kicks you into that reality too quickly sometimes. At least right now, it hits you. It's a part of your life. The Friends on the show kind of became your friends, not really, but kind of. Yeah. Well, it sounded Swedish there, didn't I? Not really, but kind of. Yeah. I'm Swedish. Hey, cool. So yeah, it affected me, and it's interesting how those things do. It's like when a famous recording artist passes away, and you listen to their music through all of your life, and then all of a sudden they're not there anymore. I had the same thing with a rock and roll group called Procol Harum. Now, most people have never heard of this group before. They were popular in the 70s. That's when they started out, and their music transformed, and they were still, I saw them in concert when they were on tour just last year or the year before, I think it was. I had seen them about five or six times. The lead singer who did pass, and after he passed, that was the end of the group. He was on my radio show twice and on my television show twice. Gary Brooker. And when that happened, I realized I can't see them perform anymore. And that was something to me. We all have our connections in various fields, and when there's a void in something that's been a part of your life and becomes a part of your soul, whether you like it or not, it affects us. And that's what happens with this Friend deal across the globe. So we're going to do that in just a few. In the meantime, how are you? How are you feeling? Are you really? Seriously? I did not know that. I'm having a conversation, and I can't really have one. I'm making believe I'm having one. Because this is radio. You can't talk back to me. I like that. You might be yelling at the speakers right now. Hey, shut up. Where you're on? I can't hear you. So it doesn't affect me that much. Even if you stop listening, I'd never know. It's cool. I like it. Okay, we're going to take that break, and when we come back, we'll interview the author of the book about the TV show Friends. This interview took place a few years ago, but it certainly is apropos. Try spelling that at this particular junction. So we'll do that right after this.
Give the gift that says, I love you. The gift that says, happy birthday. The gift that says, get well soon. The gift that says, you're the reason I went into the priesthood. The gift that says, congratulations on not getting indicted. The gift that says, I want to cover you in warm chocolate pudding. The gift that says, good luck in clown college. The gift that says, thanks for removing my unsightly wart. The gift that says, sorry about giving you food poisoning. The gift that says, I'll see you in hell. The gift that says, remember the good times we had in prison. The gift that says, I want to make sweet love to you on the white sand beaches of Rio while your hot cousin watches. The gift that says, thank you for the kidney. The gift that says, you deserve all the best, but this will have to do. The gift that says, thanks, Jesus. Whatever you want to say, you can say it beautifully with a timeless gift from Phyllis Gorman's House of Macaroni Art on Route 94 just past the Rotary, across from Sweaty Palmer's Adult Emporium.
Hi, Kelsey.
Hi there. How's it going?
Great. Kelsey Miller joins us. She's written the book, I'll Be There for You, the one about Friends. It's a fascinating book, and she's a very successful author of previous work as well. Hey, I've got to tell you, as a talk show host, I read tons of books every year. This is one of the most enjoyable books I have read. Congratulations to you.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you very much. That's a lovely compliment.
I think also you chose a subject that immediately connected people to your book. Friends was one of my favorite series in casting and in writing, directing, the whole bit. And this is a fascinating reunion for me as far as that time period is concerned. Why were you so attracted to this subject?
Well, I think for the reason you mentioned, which is that it played such an enormous role in so many of our lives. It had such a massive cultural impact, yeah. So big that I don't think that we all fully recognize it. You know, it's a show that debuted over 24 years ago, and yet here we are still talking about it, still watching it, still one of the most popular shows on television and streaming. Real. And I really wanted to explore both the show, but also the phenomenon, the Friends phenomenon, you know?
Yeah, it's for sure. Very similar to Seinfeld, both, of course, taking place in New York, but similar in the sense that, in my estimation, it started off kind of okay, and then built in momentum to the point where it was brilliant. It seemed to get very comfortable with itself, and then all of a sudden things started sparking. Did you find the same thing?
I did. I think that they had a certain amount of, you know, they had a really high energy from the beginning, and the cast had that incredible chemistry, and the writing was strong from the beginning. But I do think it took them a little bit of time to find their footing. Mm. And I think particularly by season three, where, you know, that's where they kind of graduate into a more grown-up show and become something that's really funny and just crackles with energy, but also has, like, an emotional resonance to it.
It almost seemed like toward the end they were running out of scenarios. I think there was every combination of every friend going through every possible situation. Do you think that it how did it end indeed? Was it a choice? What happened?
Well, you know, I think if the network had its druthers, then Friends would still be on the air today. But, yeah, I mean, the cast really, they had that sort of unionization. They were really a union of six. And they would come together when it came for every contract negotiation and vote together about whether or not they wanted to stay on. And I think that what kept the show going for so long was that connection between them, the fact that they really did have such an incredible working relationship and a friendship among them. I mean, as you say, when they get to season 10, there are some, you know, weird things that go on. I'm not a fan of the Joey and Rachel episodes, but it's surprisingly strong. And I think the finale is one of the best television finales of all time.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah. Well, it ended the way it was supposed to end, I think, which was very satisfying.
Yeah.
And that it turned it into a nice thing as compared to other series that get too bizarre at the end. And then they go like, wow, that was not worthy of everything that had gone on previously. Let me ask you, when I watch the reruns now, I see the World Trade Centers in the background at the opening of the establishing shots. And that always grabs me. How did they handle that scenario when they were actually in the middle of it?
Yeah, that was a really complicated issue for a lot of television shows, but I think Friends in particular, because it was so popular and it took place in downtown Manhattan.
Yeah.
And I think that the producers made a really smart choice, was that they decided to show and not tell, because they didn't think it would be appropriate to talk about this openly or to do a quote-unquote very special episode of Friends. Nobody wanted that from the show. What they wanted was to be able to revisit something that was familiar and funny and reliable. And so they did things like putting little visual cues throughout the show. Like, you know, if you recall, after 9/11, American flags popped up everywhere. They popped up on Friends. The characters wore FDNY t-shirts.
Yes.
And, you know, they put a little title card up on the first episode that aired afterwards, which was dedicated to the people of New York City. Because the people who created the show were, you know, they'd all lived in New York, and the series meant a lot to them. And in many ways, New York was the inspiration for the show. So they really wanted to treat them with respect after that.
Yeah. It's interesting now, as our country gets very divided in their relationships, that there was a lesson to Friends, I would suppose, that we could probably, you know, embrace now.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I'm, you know, if only because that was a show that was so universally adored. I mean, of course, there were people that didn't like it, but it was a show that was incredibly popular in, you know, almost 200 countries it ended up being syndicated in. It's something, it's like a cultural touchstone for so many people.
Yeah. The storylines were, I don't know if they were so extreme for that time period, because other things on other shows were also quite extreme, but Friends hit a lot of different scenarios that weren't necessarily mainstream as far as relationships and having babies and single parenting and that kind of thing.
Yeah, they did. They did. When you look back on it now, it all seems very sort of sterile and tame. But frankly, you know, the writers did have to push a lot to get a lot of those storylines on the air. Or even something like, you know, a mention of condoms was really hard to get on there. And they were saying, but wait a minute, that isn't, aren't we talking about, you know, safe, responsible sex amongst adults here? And they were like, no, you can't talk about condoms. But yeah, as you point out, there's divorce, there's single parenthood, there's like blended families, there's, you know, same-sex parents in the show. There was the first lesbian wedding on television, all of that.
Yeah, yeah. Was NBC very permissive of the Friends topics because it was so successful? Were they leaning more toward you can do pretty much whatever you want?
Well, it's funny because I think there was a perception of that. And I think really, if anybody could do what they wanted at that early on, Seinfeld probably had more leeway. I mean, if you recall, there was this famous blackout night that they did where all of the shows in the New York NBC universe experienced a blackout during one Thursday night.
Yeah.
And it was really good. It was a good, you know, it was a good stunt. It worked. And Seinfeld was the one show that was like, no, we don't want to do it. And
I
they just didn't do it.
I see.
Yeah. So But I think by the towards the end, friends probably had a lot of leeway. But in the beginning, they definitely had to negotiate quite a lot.
Yeah. Some of the cast members had some personal issues. I know that one was alcoholism, drugs while the series was still going. How did that pan out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, one of them, Matthew Perry, dealt with prescription drug abuse and alcoholism, which he was very open about, which I think is very admirable. And I think all of his cast members were open about the fact that it was really, really hard because they did, not only because they had a strong friendship, but because they were, you know, each other's colleagues, right, and they had to rely on each other, and it's an ensemble show, and they, I think it was a really rough period for all of them. But you know, they all talked a lot about the fact that they got through it. And to their credit, I think nobody's really told salacious stories about that. Mm-hmm. I think they've managed to keep whatever went on behind the scenes amongst themselves. Yeah. I have a lot of respect for them for doing that.
What's amazing is that each and every one of them, all six, after the show was over, hit their own heights in their own individual ways and continued to be quite effective in the business, as many of them are now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're all still out there.
Yeah.
And the fact is, you know, being on a successful show like Friends, they had the ability to go off and do what they wanted afterwards. Mm. But they also were always going to be recognized for those characters. Mm-hmm. And so I think that a lot of them have had to sort of find the balance, you know, between fighting against that while maybe just rolling with it, if that makes sense.
No, it does make sense. It's a great book. And now, don't say anything. I'm going to say something. You can't say anything. Pick up this book. It's called I'll Be There For You, the one about Friends. It's a great book. It is so much fun and so insightful, and just brings you back to a place that you want to be at. And I told some people that we were doing this interview, and they said, "Oh, when you finish with the book, can I read it?" I said, "Nah, goodbye, your own." That's the way I am. But
thank you for that.
Yeah, no, it's great, and I can't wait for your next work. So, is there a website that we can follow?
Yes, absolutely. You can find me on kelseymiller.com. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Ms. Kelsey Miller. Mm-hmm. You can find me on Facebook at Kelsey Miller. And you can find the book pretty much anywhere you want to buy a book.
Yes, they still sell books. This is great.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. Hey, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, it's great for me.
I know, it's good for you.
thank you so much.
Yeah,
thank you.
Okay, take care, Kelsey. All right, that'll do it for me today. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to my guest. And life goes on, my friends. Life goes on. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program, but until that time arrives, I'm going to wish you some peace right now. Take care. Be careful out there. Until tomorrow.